Culture and Rural Development Committee to order for Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. Please let the record indicate that we do have a quorum. We have a couple items on our agenda today, members. Senator Saxaw is going to present Senate File 240, and then we're going to move on to a presentation by the Economic Development Association of Minnesota. We did have a quorum. A couple members have bills across the street. So I think with that, Senator Saxaw, why don't you come forward, and Senator Rosen as well. Welcome to the committee, and we look forward to hearing Senate File 240.
Is it 240 or 420?
420, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, good. I was hoping that my staff didn't follow me up too badly. Well, thanks, Mr. Chair and members. Today, Senator Rosen and I are presenting Senate File 420. This bill's a bipartisan culmination of our Senate Rural Task Force on Economic Development. And, you know, I personally like to thank Senators Rosen, Jensen, Weber, Gazalka, Eakin, Dames, and Dahl for their hard work in the summer and the fall. It didn't really take us all that long to figure out that when it came to economic development in rural Minnesota, that we certainly do have businesses that would like to expand, but our workforce training is and our workforce housing too, but workforce training is probably our number one issue. And this bill will connect the dots between businesses looking to expand educational and training programs and then trying to get together with the high school students, do some coordination and some counseling. So with that, with us today is Dan Winter, Executive Director of the Rural Minnesota Concentrated Employment Program, and he's going to give a brief presentation. But first, I'm going to turn it over for a few comments from Senator Rosen.
Okay. Senator Rosen, welcome to
the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. I really am very excited about this bill and the work that this task force did over the interim. We met quite a bit.
We did.
And actually, several of the members are on this committee. And we started off by talking about some of the issues out in greater Minnesota that we're all very well of. We kind of came down to workforce housing and then workforce development and economic development, and decided to settle in on workforce training and development. And it's been just a real eye-opener to hear about all the different silos that have been built out in greater Minnesota just to serve the workforce training issues that we have. For example, in my district, our high school in Fairmont only uses the high school 15% of the time, 85% of the time it sits empty, and that's for all of our schools out there. It's pretty amazing. So they developed a welding program. As we all know, out in greater Minnesota, our welders, we're in great demand of welders. A Department of Ed required our schools to go through their industrial arts and have an inventory of how old the equipment is, what they have, and it was a really good exercise for these schools. So with that, the Fairmont school system developed a welding program and is in getting degrees for not only students but for local residents in the area that are serving our local employers. It's been very, very exciting, but again, just a silo. And you hear about all these little stories all over the place. This bill will hopefully connect the dots, as Senator Saxaw said, connect the dots and make sure that we have one seamless process going forward, and we don't have to recreate the wheel every single time.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rosen, to all you members. I know that you did put in a lot of hard work, and obviously this committee is going to focus a lot on these issues, so we're excited to have you here today. Before we get going, Senator Saxaw, I do believe there's an A2 author's amendment that we'd like to get the bill in the shape the author would like to. Senator Weber, would you be willing to offer that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. On Senator Weber's motion, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, members.
A2 amendment is adopted. Mr. Weiner, whenever you're ready, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. My name is Dan Winter. I'm the Executive Director of the Rural Minnesota Concentrated Employment Program. Senator Sparks, members of the Jobs and Agriculture and Rural Development Committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today on Senate File 420. I'm really excited to do this. I've been working towards this for a couple of years now, and I'm pumped. Just a little It won't seem like it, but I am excited about this, believe me. So, Rural Minnesota SEP provides workforce development services in 19 counties in northern and western Minnesota. And our territory stretches from Lake of the Woods to Morris and from Little Falls to Moorhead, so we cover a really big area. This 20,000 square mile territory is also known as Workforce Area 2, and our mission is to assist people obtain the training that they need to get to work, from how to find a job to job skills training that we might purchase through local technical colleges. There are 16 workforce areas covering all of Minnesota. There's a map in the packet that you have. In each, a workforce investment board, which is employer-led, provides strategic guidance. All 16 areas provide similar services but are customized to meet local labor market needs. Senate File 420 includes initiatives that will greatly enhance the ability of Rural Minnesota SEP and other greater Minnesota workforce areas to address the workforce needs of youth and local employers. Funding is included for rural workforce system coordinators. Workforce areas have been successful in bringing together local entities, including education, government, nonprofits, employers, and workers, to identify and coordinate on local workforce issues. Given the distances included in rural areas, there's always more work that could be done to align those activities. The addition of regional coordinators would significantly bolster the effort by providing and assisting businesses in locating workforce development resources, identifying all workforce development strategies and initiatives offered throughout the region, and connecting entities which can contribute to increasing the skills and availability of workers. Perhaps most importantly, the information garnered by those regional administrators could be utilized by the local workforce areas and their employer-led boards to share best practices both throughout our region and across the entire state. Among the biggest frustration for employers in my area is the lack of a work ethic among many of the young people they hire. In my mind, this is a skills issue. Senate File 420 includes funding for the Minnesota Youth Program. This program is key in providing resources to develop the basic work skills of young people. In MYP, the basic work skills of each participant are evaluated by staff. Skill deficiencies are addressed through individual counseling, curricula, and most importantly, by placing young people in subsidized employment. That's where most of us learn how to work, right? Nobody's born knowing how to work, but we get that first job and we learn those skills or we sink. But working, it's a sad fact that the unemployment rate for those in the 16, 24-year-old age range is approximately 15% in my part of Minnesota. Without MYP, those young people would be delayed in their ability to get a job in which they can develop those basic work skills. In addition, most jobs require some post-secondary education. Many youth graduate from high school unprepared to make post-secondary choices. Senate File 420 also includes provisions to expand one of our core activities, career exploration and planning. This service has been provided to youth who meet low-income criteria for 45 years. 2 years ago, the legislature provided funding to allow several workforce areas to expand career exploration and planning to any high school student regardless of income. This pilot is exploring the feasibility of taking the labor market knowledge and career planning expertise of Workforce Center youth staff and making it available to any youth in our local high schools. In this pilot, Rural Minnesota SEP staff, who are also Workforce Center staff, work with high school students in Moorhead, Dilworth, Glendon, Felton, Barnesville, Euland-Hitterdahl, and the Red River Area Learning Center. Career counseling and knowledge of demand occupations increase the likelihood of youth making well-informed choices regarding which post-secondary programs to enter. Workforce Center staff focus on career education and planning, allowing high schools to focus on education. So we do what we do best, and the schools can do what they're charged with. Workforce Center staff use their knowledge and expertise to assist students to identify a career in an occupation in demand. And occupations in demand are those for which there is projected job growth in the local area and pay a good wage. Our staff then work with the student to identify the steps needed to enter the career. In other words, a goal and a plan are developed. The result is a plan which facilitates entry into a field in which local employers need workers. Students identify the training which they need to enter their career choice. This reduces the expense of false starts in post-secondary education, increases the pool of available workers to local employers, and reduces the time you spend drifting in their 20s that so many of us experienced, primarily myself. Services are based on our Workforce Investment Act Youth and Minnesota Youth Program intensive staff services and include career exploration instruction, including information on career pathways and occupations in demand, one-to-one career counseling, including interest assessment, skills identification, goal setting, and development of a career plan, preparation for the National Career Readiness Certificate, including assessment, key train curriculum for remediation, and testing for the NCRC certification. And in our area, we work with all of the local ABEs on that. We have purchased the key train curriculum for them so that they can do the remediation if it makes sense. We do job search assistance, including information on job search strategies and processes, provide information on training programs and the value of continued education and high demand occupations. We conduct tours of training facilities and local colleges. We provide individual assistance to students and families in completing financial aid applications. Services are provided to large audiences, small groups, and individuals. So for large audiences, we help organize or arrange attendance at job and career fairs, provide outreach to parents and students at parent-teacher conferences, community events, and career nights. Group activities include job search instruction, including tools and techniques such as completing applications, networking, resume writing, interviewing, and follow-up, introduction to the Workforce Center resources, classes on financial aid and career assessment tools, and introduction to career planning tools. With individuals, we conduct career counseling, which includes interpreting interest assessment results, skills identification, how to use labor market information, and developing a career plan. We assist with preparation for that National Career Readiness Certificate. We provide assistance in completing the FAFSA and arrange for job shadowing. Results are, over the 18 months of the pilot, we've outreached over 2,500 high school students, and again, this is in Clay County alone. We've provided group activities for nearly 1,900 youth, 450 youth, which have received individual services, which result in a career plan, which is where we really want to go with this. We found that one staff can provide interest assessment, skills identification, labor market information, career exploration, and develop plans with 250 students over the course of a year. In addition, a staff person can provide group sessions on job search strategies, FAFSA, college applications, and available resources. We can do this primarily, we achieve this focus because our counselors are focused on the career planning, the career awareness, so we're not pulled into things like planning the prom or snow days or anything like that. We're focused on this particular strategy. Schools appreciate having our Workforce Center staff provide the service. Students are able to identify careers that are in demand that meet their aptitudes and interests and then develop plans to prepare for these careers. The result is that by the time youth leave high school, they have a career goal and a plan to achieve that goal, including an appropriate post-secondary education choice, so they know what program they're going to go to when they go into college. The $10 million included in Senate File 420 would build on the success of the pilot projects and allow career counseling to be implemented across the state. I want to leave the committee with one final thought. It's the foundational philosophy of rural Minnesota SEP that work is the key to a successful life. Skilled workers are key to business success. Skilled workers and thriving businesses are key to strong rural economies. The strength of Minnesota's economy is dependent on the strength of greater Minnesota's economy. Senate File 420 will go a long way towards ensuring the economic strength of both rural Minnesota and the entire state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Winter. And obviously, we do understand that you are excited about this. And I think you put a lot of work and energy into it. I mean, and obviously, that youth program has been very successful around the entire state, and I think it's important, too, that we stay in touch with our local workforce centers that do have a real pulse on what's happening in our local communities. So thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think you bring up a great point. When our task force found the workforce centers and got together with them, the rural workforce centers, We weren't about to reinvent the wheel. We think we found something that, and I think Mr. Winter exhibits the enthusiasm that we have, and think that this is the direction we want to go. So we would appreciate your support.
Certainly would. Any questions from members for the witness or for Senator Sacksack? Senator Russ?
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chairman, and I did come in late, so I don't, maybe the question was dealt with in the presentation or the testimony, but how were the dollar amounts arrived at? Were there FTEs talked about? Were there expenses of the program? Is there a detailed budget for this program?
We can, I'm sorry, I remember protocol, but Senator and Chairman Sparks, I can get you the information on the detailed budget. You know, the funding for this is went into staff resources with Rural Minnesota SEP. The way it worked is there was an appropriation that was made for this, and it was combined with an effort to get to labor market information. I'm sorry, to get to labor market information on the results of college graduates. So it came in one lump sum. And so what happened is this went to the Department of Employment and Economic Development. They determined what they needed to provide that information on college graduates. And then they worked with the four pilot programs to determine how much funding was needed to implement this in each area, and the four of us basically negotiated among each other to try to meet the intent of the law. So in my case, I had been wanting to implement this in Clay County, so I asked for enough funding just to take and fund a staff position and a half to cover the schools in Clay County, and then the other three entities it basically did the same thing. So we negotiated among ourselves to make sure that we had enough money to at least implement a basic program.
But
Senator Russ?
Mr. Chairman, well, I would like to see that amount of detail so that maybe the amount of money that's being requested is not enough. Maybe it should be more. Maybe it could be less and still achieve the purposes. So I'd be very interested to see the breakdown on where the money would be spent and what the costs are.
Mr. Chairman,
it has nothing to do with supporting it. I'm just asking about the dollar amounts.
And Senator Rust, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rust, in terms of the $2.5 million for the coordinators, that was based on $250,000 per coordinator et al. In the 10 workforce areas. And we know that the MMB will be coming up with a fiscal impact. That, as you say, that could be more, that could be less.
Okay.
But that's generally how we did it.
I do want the information.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll get that
Chair.
To you, Senator Russ. Any other questions from committee members? Would anyone else like to be heard on Senate File 420? If not, Senator Weber?
I just wanted to make one comment.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator Weber.
And thank you. Senator Sachshaug and Rosen for coming before us today and having served on the subcommittee and also serving on education. I think one of the really great elements of this this particular proposal, and there are many, but it is the fact that we're talking about some of the counseling efforts that are going to be made into the school system. I think in education we hear continually about the fact that we are understaffed in our counseling departments, whereas when I graduated in the 70s, we had counselors that spent a lot of time with us in terms of post-secondary education and career counseling and that type of thing. And now today, our counselors are so tied up with the social issues that arise out of the family situations that there really is no time for that. And this really does provide an avenue for the school to access career counseling and really deal with people that are in the know as to what's available and making our young people aware that there actually are career opportunities at home.
Very good point.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. If I might say, too, I would be interested in the outcomes of this appropriation, and that's something that we should talk about further, but how many kids benefited in this program, how many were placed, what areas that they were trained in, did they stay in the area, did they, those type of issues, always, if we're going to spend this kind of money, have some kind of assurance that it was well spent. And I think we can provide that with the system that we have set up.
Very good. Okay. Senator Weber moves that Senate File 420 as amended be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The bill is passed. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Next on the agenda, we're going to hear from the Economic Development Association of Minnesota. They're going to give us a brief presentation. If you would like to come forward at this time, Mr. Marquardt and Ms. Spaulding. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jean Spaulding, and I'm with the Kennewick County and City of Willmar Economic Development Commission. And today, we're really excited, too. It's Economic Development Day at the Hill. So I guess we're proper timing to be here today. But we do have some information, that a packet that's been handed out to your committee members. And so we'd like to just take this opportunity to talk about economic development in Minnesota. I happen to be the privilege of chairing the Government Relations Committee for the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, EDAM. And we are one of the sponsors of the Day at the Hill today, along with the SBDCs and MAPSA, the Minnesota Association of County Economic Development. And one of the things that for EDAM, we are a nonprofit trade association, if you will, made up of economic development professionals throughout Minnesota. We are very happy to report that we've got a really good mix in our membership. We think that makes us a strong organization that is made up of about half greater Minnesota, as well as about half of metropolitan communities. We also have about an equal split of 50-50 being government or economic development professionals, along with trade association and support service type industry representatives. So we think that's one of the advantages of our organization, because it brings strength and expertise to our group. One of the things that we'd like to talk to you today about is our legislative platform and some of the things that we've been working on. We come to this platform, first of all, by surveying our membership. So we know that these are issues that are important to communities throughout Minnesota, and so that's really where our message comes from. Today we really want to make sure that we offer support of EDAM to you as you're looking at bills and legislation that impact economic development. We would really like to be a resource, and if there's questions or if there's things that our membership can be an assistance of, we'd like to be able to be a resource that you can call upon. We've got people out in the field that work with these programs day in, day out. They work with the businesses. They work with the communities, and we really feel that that could be a benefit. One of the things that I'm going to recap just briefly some of our key philosophies, and one of those is tax increment financing, and I know that that's something we talk about frequently, but we feel that that's a really important local tool. It's very effective, and one of the things that we think would be helpful is if the statute were to be streamlined, so that in cases where we're dealing especially with smaller communities, it gets less cumbersome and costly to be able to implement the tool. Another point would be is that as economic development districts with, again, those rules and regulations, oftentimes by the time you reach a benchmark in some of the timing, the district is about half over. So we would be a proponent of economic development districts having a 10-year life or at least 9 years worth of increments. Other things that Workforce housing has been, I think, a topic that you've all heard frequently in the short weeks that you've been here. And again, that's a concern that we're hearing all over the state as something that we would like to be see worked on. We'd like you to consider whether TIF or abatement might be possible tools to help in gap financing with workforce housing issues. We don't really come here today with a bill or any recommendations. We just suggest that those could be possible tools that would be helpful. Another area that is new to us in our platform this year is economic development marketing. When we did a survey of our membership, one of the things that came out most frequently is the fact that as a state in economic development, we have a very, very minimal investment when it comes to marketing our state for economic development. And when you consider the states around us and what they're spending, we feel that's something that really needs to change. We have, along with DEED, worked the last few years hosting site selectors in Minnesota, and as a conclusion of each of those programs, the site selectors have done somewhat of a panel and reported back to our colleagues and our members what they saw and what their impressions were with the tours that they conducted and how we as professionals could improve in attracting businesses to the state. And they overwhelmingly tell us that we just aren't tooting our horn. We aren't selling our story enough. They don't know about us. Many of these site selectors are located in either New York, Chicago, Texas, or the West Coast. And we're just hearing frequently enough that we feel that it's really important that we pay attention to that and really put together a plan that would address that. And we've got people that are working on that, a budget and a specific plan that would be targeted directly at that source and the business and economic development marketing. The other thing that I guess we would just like to continue supporting is DEED. DEED has been a great partner to economic development throughout the state. The broadband grants were awarded last week, and we were really excited about that, and we thank you for the appropriations in broadband. I come from a rural area that has one of those maps that has a lot of red on it, so I'm looking forward to how we can continue to partner with the state in programs that are going to help us to improve the broadband throughout Minnesota. We feel that the partnership with the providers and all of those that are at the table, that we're hopeful that we can find solutions that make sense, because the cost of this problem is really expansive. So we understand that, but we want to keep working on that. Other programs with DEED that we really support are MIF has always been a great it's one of those programs that has time-tested and brings great value to the communities. Redevelopment dollars and redevelopment grant programs are things that can be used all over the state. Today we were talking with our legislators about projects in Spicer that are looking for dollars, but unfortunately the program is out of funds, and so it's not something that's going to be able to be an option at this particular point. The SBDCs are I use on a regular basis and are something that we see the return on investment being $5 for every $1 invested in, and that's something that we feel helps businesses. And it's not just your entrepreneurs or your startups. It's businesses of all size and all fashions. They can help businesses that are trying to expand, are in trouble, and are looking for ways to turn things around. So we see the value of the SBDCs, and we support their funding as well in expanding those services. I know that transportation is going to be a whole other topic, and that's something that is important to all of Minnesota as well. With me also is John Sullivan, and he is not Scott Marquardt, which is on the agenda, but he is going to be talking about the Minnesota Association of County Professional Economic Developments.
Thanks, Jane. Before you start, Ms. Spaulding, when you said what for every $1 invested, we get a $5 return, was that on the small business development centers?
Yes, okay. That's
correct?
Okay. That's according to the information, yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear. I'm sorry, go up. Please introduce yourself and welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Gene. Good afternoon, Chairman and other members of the Senate Committee, for allowing me to be here. Again, I'm John Sullivan. I'm the Economic Development Director for Carver County. I'm here representing MAPSED. MAPSED is Minnesota Association of Professional County Economic Developers. What a mouthful. Really what it is we have 40 members, approximately, and they are all the economic development representatives for each one of the counties that participates in county economic development throughout the state. We have a legislative platform. That's why I'm here today with EDIM and meeting with lots of representatives today to talk about who we are, what we do, what's working, what's not, and what our concerns are. It's been really well attended, much better this year, one of the best years I can recall. On our platform, we support basically, when you look at EDIM's platform, we support the same thing. It's, you know, workforce training, broadband, marketing, transportation, and economic development program funding. A lot of times when I meet with representatives, legislators, they always want to know, well, if there's a program, you know, how is it working or how did you utilize it in your community? And I'll tell you a quick story. You're familiar with the DEED Job Creation Fund, which was just started a couple years ago. We utilized that for a manufacturer in the city of Chaska. What they did was the company is called Super Radiator Coils, and they make cooling coils for the refrigeration business, but as well as data centers and even nuclear for the U.S. military. They're a very diverse company. And they have the ability to expand all over the United States. They could have expanded in Arizona. They could have expanded in Chaska, or they could have expanded in their other facility in Richmond, Virginia. The president of the company looked at me and said, how do we make this work? And I said, I think the DEED Job Creation Fund would be a great tool. It's new. I don't exactly know how to use it, but I'll talk to the great guys at DEED, and we'll work it out. Ended up being the easiest program I think I've ever used, very user-friendly, very successful. To make a long story short, it's up and running. They did the expansion. They hired 20 people, all union jobs, all over $60,000 in average wage. A great, great project. As I had mentioned, there's other projects and stories I could tell you, but I just wanted to highlight that one because it's a fairly new funding source. I guess the other thing I wanted to mention regarding some of MAPSED's work through the county economic developers, when we get together, we talk about the programs we use and how they work and how we can better utilize state dollars and implement them in our communities and create jobs. That's all of our goals. We're trying to create jobs and increase the tax base. One thing we talked about as a group was, well, how do we measure this? How do we show the return on investment? Which programs are working? You know, how do we quantify this? So what MAPSED did, and the county guys, all of us, when I say guys, it's guys and women, and they're smiling at me over there. But what we did was we worked with the University of Minnesota, the Extension Service, and it's Neil Linscheid. And what Neil did was he developed a tracking tool for us. It's a spreadsheet. It sounds simple enough, but it shows every program that's available, whether it's state, federal, city, local, and it was really customized for our use. And what we did was we entered in all the data for a year, and I did it for Carver County, as again, I worked there. So I tried to figure out in 2014, what did I do? Well, I entered all that data in, and what it does is it spits out one sheet of paper that shows you what your results were. It's really basic stuff. I had five projects that I completed in 2014. 163 jobs were created. 9 jobs were retained. The total capital invested was $47,603,000. The private capital was $43,367,000. And the public resources were $4,236,000. Some of those public resources that leveraged those dollars were some of the usual suspects, like Gene talked about, the Minnesota Investment Fund, the Job Creation Fund that I alluded to earlier, and other things, SBA 504, those kind of things. We're going to keep working on this tool and refining it, and I think it could be not only something good for the county economic developers to do, but for other groups to measure their own economic development performance and come up with a benchmark on it. Again, thanks for having us here. I love the Economic Development Day at the Hill. It's just a great time to see all of you and to thank you on behalf of MAPSED and Edom and Carver County for all that you do and for having faith in us to be your stewards of your dollars. Thank you.
Mr. Sullivan, thank you for your testimony, and also thank you for your willingness to be here today to meet with legislators and present before the committee. Do members have any questions for either of the testifiers? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I don't have any questions, but just a couple of comments. I'd like to thank Gene and John both for being here today and presenting your legislative platform. It's quite interesting when you look at your platform and some of the things you talked about with what's going on in the Senate and the legislation right now. There's a lot of bills on workforce housing and workforce training, broadband and transportation, so hopefully we'll line up pretty good through the session of what you're looking for and some of the things we're working on. So again, thank you very much for being here today and spending some time at the office building.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would agree. Thank you. I mean, the timing is perfect, and obviously it's exciting to hear that some of those tools that the Department of Employment and Economic Development have are working good for you, and we're putting those dollars to good use and creating those jobs. So, Senator Schmidt?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd just like to echo the sentiment of my colleagues here. I think a lot of these ideas really have some merit to them. I've heard a lot about the economic development marketing and the new markets tax credits. Maybe that's something that we'll be able to bring before this body or some rest of your committee. We'll see down the road. It was a pleasure to join your larger group this morning and talk specifically about broadband. And Ms. Spaulding, I'm wondering if you could just say a little bit more about some of your recommendations, and particularly one thing that was highlighted in our group discussion this morning that I think would be of benefit to the committee here is just the perception or the reality of barriers that are in place in current state law as it pertains to a local role in providing a match to play off of our state grant program, and in what sorts of struggles communities like your own or neighbors or your members may have as it relates to that local match or trying to promote partnerships in broadband infrastructure investment.
Ms. Spaulding?
Mr. Chair, Senator Schmidt, thank you. It is difficult work, and I think that we have to each part of the state seems to have different barriers and different strengths in how they're going to achieve those. And in my particular area, I think I can talk best about is we're looking at really trying to identify through a survey mechanism where the real pots of real poor coverage are. We're going to be launching a real targeted survey in some of the areas where we think that we have some real problems so that we can identify those specific speeds of internet upload and download speeds, and then correlate those to housing and so that we can get some densities. And that's data that we can then take to a provider. I think to be realistic, fiber to the home and with the amount of square miles that I would have in Canandaigua County makes it very difficult for that reality to come forth anytime soon. So we are trying to take a more realistic approach in trying to find out how what we can do in certain areas to build the broadband on that and then move to a different areas. Now, other areas, fiber to the home is, especially if its new deployment makes perfect sense and that works for them. I think in the legislation, one of the barriers I heard in meeting with the providers is a maybe not an understanding of what the scalability to 100 megs means. Does that mean that it has to be a fiber to the home? Because when we did the engineering analysis for that particular scenario in one of my areas that's around the lakes and has a lot of hilly terrain, we were looking at about 20,000 per house to deploy that service to meet that scalability, which obviously is cost prohibitive. So those are some of the, I think, challenges that you know, we have seen, and I think It is also, I think, leadership from the state, for me particularly, is helpful because many of us don't have the skill set in the expertise in the broadband, and so we're trying to fix problems that are very complicated and very technical, and you're relying on people in the field or in the communities that don't necessarily always have that skill set. And so having leadership, I think, from the state is in the Office of Broadband and the skills that Dana McKenzie has been a real step in the right direction and a real resource for all of us.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Any other questions from members? If not, thank you both for being here today. That was a great presentation. We really appreciate it. With that, that completes the business for today, so the meeting is adjourned. Good job. Where are you? Okay.